This division, as HJL has explained, is really your Earth, as seen by us astrals. It looks rather different. In the main, we perceive not so much the physical bodies of men, animals, and inanimate objects as their astral bodies, which, however, closely resemble their physical in general shape. We see the astral embedded in a gray, shadowy substance. As a rule, we do not see physical color. We do see another kind of color, however, that of the aura of all living objects. It will surprise you to know how many things which you call inanimate are really alive. Even things like rocks have their aura. Why, even houses have their kind of aura. Indeed, there are very few things which have not. The deadest thing we see, and we see that with difficulty, is something which has once been alive, and is now dead and decaying, such as the corpse of a man or animal. Auras vary in color, largely according to the feelings of the creature at the moment. Blue or white auras show forth a good or kindly nature, red shows anger, a muddy orange-brown shows a thoroughly malevolent nature. Some trees, for example, seem to possess a very unpleasant band of aura, but I will deal fully with the subject later. The newly dead, as a rule, see something of this division, though often through lack of previous knowledge they are unable to comprehend what they see. Those who die as old men, having worn out their astral bodies on Earth, lose it almost at once, and so often see no more of the astral plane than this. Yes, that was my experience. I saw the room in which I lay, but was there for so short and brief a space that I had little opportunity of gaining any real knowledge of it at the time. When I revisited the Earth to see my funeral, I descended from the spirit plane, but we won't deal with that now. L. resumed his narrative. Sometimes the astral cannot get free from its corpse, and remain entangled with it for a considerable period. Hence the stories of ghosts in churchyards, though there are other explanations of their appearances. This fate befalls those who are very materialistic on Earth. Suicides are also similarly afflicted. Sometimes a sudden and violent death may produce the same result, but not for long. Sooner or later the spirit gains its freedom, and may wander about the earth plane, as it is often called. This is usually the fate of those whose interests are still centered on Earth. In particular, men who have died and left some task undone, or who wish to convey some message, may haunt the site of their former earth life for years. The cause which holds them earthbound need not always be a bad one, or even merely a materialistic one. Sometimes love for those they have left behind may act as a serious bar to their further progress. Relations should be careful of excessive grief for their loss, for it may draw the astral back to the earth plane, and keep him chained to the earth, to his great detriment. Lack of knowledge may also keep a man upon this earth plane, wandering aimlessly and making no effort to progress because he knows not where to go. In this condition they are a mark for evil beings, who tempt them into obsession. It is on this division that the newly slain continue the battle in which they fell on earth, though as I did for a while. It is chiefly on this division that the officer carries on his rescue work. In Division 4 we find a barren ground, with here and there scattered shrubs. It looks somewhat like open down land. I call this the division of the dreamers, for here come tens of thousands of earth folk. Often they sweep in batches across the countryside, with eyes closed and unable to see anything. But others go with open eyes seeking their lost ones, and often meet them. Others go seeking those who are not on this plane at all, perhaps they are in the spirit realms above, perhaps in hell. Often we astrals come from the fifth and sixth divisions to greet them and lead them to our homes, and you can guess how glad we are of the all too short meetings. Mother broke in with, "Yes, it was there that I met little B. R.L.W. Continued. I have met father there on several occasions. But often the visitor when he awakes seems to have no recollection of these visits. Why, I cannot understand. Because they have not developed the superphysical senses, and so when again clothed in gross matter they are unable to impress these experiences on their physical brains. It is very sad, for otherwise they would learn much that would be a consolation to them in these days when so many are falling for their country." L. W. continued, "In our upward journey we passed through this dreamland. It was there you found me, I think, for it impinges on the earth plane, so that it is hard to distinguish between the two. Indeed, all these divisions blend into each other. It is next door to impossible to say exactly where one ends and the next begins. Of course, all astrals do not remember all the divisions through which they pass. Some pass too quickly, others, like Mother, are carried by waiting astrals through them in an unconscious state. In this division we find animals, though not many of them. They pass from the Earth division, or Earth plane, onto the fifth division quickly, as a rule. Mixed elementals, by which I mean elementals which are neither all good nor all bad, but mixed in disposition, like most men, begin on the Earth plane, and are found in the fifth and sixth divisions, but not in the seventh. Evil elementals are found on all these divisions up to and including the sixth, but not in the seventh, and only a few are found on the sixth division. The next two divisions are those of chief interest to the ordinary person after death. I shall, therefore, devote rather more time to describing them. The fifth and sixth are very much alike in general appearance, and we move from one to the other with the utmost ease. The fifth division is remarkably like old Mother Earth. It falls into layers in which can be seen all the various stages through which the world has passed. The people of various historic periods tend to drift into the appropriate surroundings, but, of course, each period fades imperceptibly into the next, and the inhabitants often stroll from one period into the other. When H.J.L. took me into the great land of silence, I passed through many of these layers, though I do not remember noticing quite all. The earlier periods still have examples of primitive man. It is strange that their astral bodies have not long since perished. H.J.L. I think that is due to the fact that for the most part their spiritual nature was so little developed. Still, if you think of the millions who must have lived on the earth, the number of survivors is relatively small. Then too many present-day savages reinforce the old inhabitants. Like attracts like, and they naturally join that community which is most like the one they left. RLW The animals likewise find their appropriate setting. Buildings tend to appear in that part of the astral plane which corresponds with the period when they were destroyed, rather than the period when they were built. Thus you will see out of the window a Gothic church from Flanders which was destroyed a few months ago, but most of the houses around it are not earlier than the 18th century, and some are quite modern. Of course, the whole of this town has been destroyed during the war. The section of the most general interest is that which represents the destroyed buildings of the last 100 years, what we might call the present time. To this section most of us come, I among others. All that I have been saying about the fifth division up to the present is equally applicable to the sixth division, but now to the difference. The more materialistic people remain in the fifth division. There they eat astral food and even sleep. They have no real need for either, but they do so from instinct. J.W. I hardly realized that you could get food here. R.L.W. If you come to think of it, since even a house has an astral form, food must also, and they eat that. J.W. But, as a matter of scientific interest, does not the eating and drinking produce similar effects to those it does on Earth? R.L.W. I quite follow you. I determined to sacrifice myself in the interests of science, and obtain the following results. -1. Once I started to eat, the desire kept on recurring. 2. I found, to put it bluntly, I produced excreta. H.J.L. foresaw the danger in the former fact, and advised me to give up the dangerous experiment. He said that I should probably become a slave to the habit, and, in time, my appetite would cease to be satisfied with astral food, and would crave for the strong meats of earth. Hence would arise the temptation to obtain them by obsessing. So I dropped it. One satisfactory result was that I had no longer any necessity for the other matter which I mentioned. He then gave me certain interesting medical details with regard to the latter, which need not be published here. The people of the fifth division are grosser than those of the sixth, and more often take the downward path. They tend to continue, in a somewhat aimless way, their former earthly pursuits and pleasures. H.J.L. in short, are rather similar in their conduct to the spirits in the sixth division of hell. sea gone west, RLW though elementals abound. They seldom enter the towns, and so many astrals will deny that they exist. The elementals seem to haunt the country, woods, streams, lakes, and open moors being their favorite places of habitation, just as those who are seen on Earth are usually found in these surroundings. Our guardian spirits are seldom seen, they appear only when they wish to do so for some special reason. In my upward journey I did not pause in the fifth division. But since reaching my present abode I have made excursions into it, for the purpose of gaining material for this work. I dwell in the sixth division, as you know, and to it mother was brought by the doctors who received her at death. The hospital to which she was taken is only one of the many institutions which exist on this plane. There are homes for children, although many children spend but a short time here, and there are schools for them. There are colleges and science laboratories, libraries and museums, picture galleries and theaters. In short, all the amenities of life on Earth. You will readily understand, therefore, that the uninitiated are often puzzled, and even deny that they are dead. But these are the superficial folk, for any person who really goes at all deeply into the matter realizes a profound difference, as I told a man the other day who tried to stuff me up that we were not dead. If we are not dead, how is it there are no funerals here? He started, "I never thought of that, but look here, several men I knew once have disappeared." "Disappeared, yes," I replied, "but you have never buried them." "No, nor even a dead dog. Those you miss have passed onto the spirit plane, but their method of passing is different from that by which we quit the earth. Think it over," and I left him doing so. The seventh division I know less of than any of the other. It is much more ethereal than this division, and is a place of preparation for the next or spirit plane. But you must not assume from that we must all pass through it to get to the next plane of existence, any more than that everyone passes through Twilight Land. Many go off straight from this division. I understand that it is a very pleasant place, and the descriptions which I have received are reminiscent of the old stories of the gardens of paradise, and, indeed, it is usually the resting place of saintly beings whose astral bodies are not yet ready to be discarded. Of course, many really saintly people can discard their astral bodies almost immediately after death, but some are still comparatively young when they die, and these rest for a while in the pleasant valleys of the seventh division. The only elementals found there are good ones. Not even the mixed elementals are permitted within its borders. Animals are found there, and, owing to the general atmosphere of love, they are, for the most part, on the friendliest relations with man, whereas, on most of the astral plane, this is not so. So far as I can discover, there are no carnivore there, nor any unpleasant reptiles or insects. Flowers are there in abundance, and singing birds and butterflies. One fact I must mention, because it shows the great advance the dwellers in this division have made. They are able to construct new buildings out of astral elements. On the sixth division a little of that sort of thing is done, but only a little, for there is such an abundance of astral utensils and buildings that there seems but little necessity. So far as new astral things are made, it is by similar means to that employed on Earth, or for example, by machines or handicraft, only we employ astral elements instead of physical. In the seventh division, however, you find the beginning of the power possessed by all spirits of the spirit plane to create new ideas and make them visible by the power of the will. But there is this difference: where HJL dwells, the artist, for example, by the mere exercise of his will, produces the form of his statue. In the seventh division of the astral plane that is not sufficient. He has to clothe the idea with astral elements, which he draws in some way from the atmosphere. I don't know exactly how it is, but done it is. I think it is analogous to the way in which HJL creates an astral body for himself. H nodded, and said, "Yes, you are on the right track, and I could do the same in that division, but I could not teach you how to do it. It is a matter of the will, and until you have learned to control that mighty force and direct it as you wish, you cannot be taught such secrets." He paused, and then continued, "But it is time you were returning, Jack. We have had a most interesting evening and I hope your next will be equally profitable. So I said goodbye to them all and returned to Earth. Chapter 3, Auras. November 20, 2020, 1917. I found RLW, HJL, and Mother awaiting me in their house. RLW, what would you like me to deal with this time? JW, Auras, I think. RLW, very well, and then he began his narrative. All things that exist possess an astral form, and this form is often seen even on Earth by mortals, and is sometimes called the aura. At the same time there is also a spiritual aura, which may likewise be seen. J. L. knows more about that kind of aura than I do. The aura is not so much the astral body as an emanation thrown off by it. It is, however, so closely associated with it that it is almost impossible, as a rule, to say definitely what is aura and what is the astral body. The aura may contract within the astral body or expand in such a measure that it extends a kind of fringe beyond both physical and astral bodies. This fringe varies in actual depth while the individual is in the flesh, but, roughly, it usually extends about 2 or 3 inches beyond the physical body. The aura is not only visible to psychic mortals and to astrals, but it also has definite functions of its own. It is sentient to a very considerable extent. To give an example, if you were walking on a dark night along a road, your aura might come in contact with the aura of a tree which, owing, say, to fog, you were quite unable to see. If your astral functions were well developed, they would be able to give a warning to your physical brain of the proximity of the tree, and you would instinctively stop. JW, yes, I have experienced such incidents. RLW, good, then you will understand me the better. Well, the example I have given is a simple one, but the aura can detect more subtle dangers than merely physical. It is particularly useful in warning its owner of hostile feelings in another physical being, be that being a man, an animal, or even some so-called inanimate object. That much misused word instinct covers many of the manifestations of the aura. The more psychic a person is, the better judge he will be of the characters of others, and he does this by means of the impression his aura receives of the aura of the other person. Of course, the spiritual aura, which extends to a far greater extent round the physical body than the astral aura, is even more valuable in this matter. But perhaps H. J. L. will say something on that subject. H. J. L. No, my boy, we are dealing with the astral plane, and so I think we had best keep to the astral aura. RLW, well, this aura, as I said, exists with animals and trees, and, strange to say, some trees appear from their auras to be benevolently inclined towards man, whereas others are distinctly malevolent. The aura varies in color according to the character of the individual, and even varies according to his moods. Thus a red aura denotes anger, and so an aura of which the dominant note is red will denote a being of an angry, ill-tempered nature, and probably one in whom hate was the dominant vice. The worst auras of all are an ugly orange-brown. These show a malevolent and grossly material nature, with little of the higher side in evidence. Fortunately, this kind of aura is rare in man. It is common in certain low types of astrals and elementals, and is also characteristic of certain trees. Auras vary in brightness and apparent texture according to the physical health of persons in the flesh. This is so marked that a person possessing good psychic faculties on Earth could tell at a glance the condition of health of any person who came to consult him. More than that, he could tell the spot in the physical body which is causing the illness. Much more might be done on Earth in this manner to locate hidden complaints and diseased organs, and so dispense with the necessity of exploratory operations. The treatment of such complaints is not a matter on which I care to say anything just now, but in passing I might add that there are distinct affections of the aura which account for such subtle complaints as those described by the phrases, I don't feel up to form today, oh I feel dispirited, oh I can't make out what's the matter. I've nothing physically wrong, but I feel despondent and down in the dumps. Usually these are due to some affection of the aura, though at times they may be caused by some undiscovered physical trouble, such as indigestion, or, perhaps on the other hand, to sickness of the spirit. The latter may or may not be an evil conscience. When the physical body has an affected organ, for example, congestion of the lungs or the aura, instead of showing a healthy light, white, blue, or greenish, according to temperament, will be grayish over the spot. If examined closely, the aura will be found to consist, apparently, of thousands of minute streamers or hairs of light. In a healthy person, in a calm mood, these hairs stream straight out from the body. When mentally agitated, they wave in a convulsive manner, and if a portion of the body is diseased, the aura hairs either become tangled and knotted in appearance, or else lie flat like dank seaweed, instead of streaming straight out like seaweed does when underwater. In cases where the physical body is in good health, but the aura itself is affected, observation will show that it is pale and wan, and of a grayish color. Occasionally it appears to hang down like seaweed left high and dry on the shore. Now all these peculiarities of the aura can be seen by us astrals when on the earth plane. But it is the auras of mortals, not of astrals, of which I have spoken so far. I will now turn to the aura as seen on this astral plane. J.W. Before doing so, I should like to know what trees you particularly noticed as malignant. R.L.W. Most older trees and most ash, particularly the older ones. A few beech trees and pines also had very hateful auras. Most oak trees, on the other hand, were benevolent, and all fruit trees. The sycamore is always friendly, and I understand the same applies to palms. The alder and the ash seem in toto to be hostile to man, but in the case of most other trees it is only individuals which exhibit this trait. Sometimes the position is complicated by the fact that an elemental has seized upon the tree, and either absolutely entered in or else has attached itself to it as it might to a mortal whom it was obsessing. In such cases I might see only the aura of the evil elemental or a muddy brown in color, or I might see the aura of the tree in conflict with the aura of the elemental. In the latter case parts of the aura would be reddish, while the rest would be gray or yellow. It would not be bright and clear, for if completely healthy the tree would not have fallen into the clutches of the elemental. I mean healthy as regards its astral body. Turning to the aura as seen on the astral plane, we find it is more easily seen than by man on the physical. All the same, in the fifth division it is seldom noted, but here we can see it if we concentrate our minds on doing so. I have little doubt that it could also be seen in the lower divisions if the investigator concentrated enough willpower on so doing. But many of the people there are so hidebound by earth traditions that they seldom endeavor to improve their psychic faculties, being content to go on vainly reproducing earth life on this plane. These naturally know little of the aura. As, however, I have gone down into the lower divisions, even to the third or earth plane, and have seen auras the which belonged to astrals, it is evident that others could see them. At the same time I admit that unless one concentrates one's mind on seeing them, one hardly notices them. As I see ordinary astral phenomena without any such special concentrations of mind, I think there must be a subtle difference, and that the aura is rather less material than the astral body. Now, I think we have said enough about the aura. It is not a very important subject to the medical profession here, and it is from the doctor who attended mother in the hospital that I have learned the facts which I have given you, showing the effect of ill health upon the aura. As, however, we are not particularly interested in medicine ourselves, I suggest we move on to a fresh field of labor. J. W. Yes, I think so, but before doing so I want to ask you one or two questions. RLW Very well. Let's have them. J.W. Can you see my aura now? Concentrated his mind on the subject, and I did likewise. He then spoke, Yes. W. What color is it? W. Yes, yours is largely green, but also has some white in it. R.L.W. Mostly blue, with some white, and a little yellow. Can you see mine? Suddenly I sprang up, and said, Something is happening. I must go at once. Even as I spoke the room vanished. I seemed to be falling rapidly, and almost immediately awoke with a start. I had evidently been awakened by C.W., who was not very well. Chapter 4, A Summary of R.L.W.'s Career on the Astral Plane. November 26, 2017, 1917. As soon as I had arrived at RLW's house, where I found also my mother and HJL, RLW began as follows, dash RLW bearing the map in mind. I will now trace my journey through the different divisions of the astral plane. I have never visited the two lowest. You evidently saw the first, see page 51, and I have also caught a glimpse of the second. My story therefore begins with Division 3, often called the Earth Plane. Immediately after my death I seemed to recover, and went on fighting with my dead companions against dead Germans. I do not remember seeing any of the living who must, however, have been present. Probably I was not able to distinguish clearly between the two groups. After a while, as I have told you, I grew weary of this mockery, and realized that I was dead. I somehow escaped from the turmoil of the Earth Plane or Third Division onto the Fourth Division or Dream Plane. Here I sat down, feeling utterly miserable, on a hummock in a rather dreary waste. While there I saw the Requiem Mass for my soul, which shone through the ground itself and brought for a while a sense of peace and kindliness. When, however, that faded, I again sank into a state of lonely misery. I was aroused from this by your appearance, which cheered me greatly, especially when you promised to fetch HJL to my aid. After you had returned to Earth, I was again miserable and seemed to feel waves of sorrow coming up from the earth, the grief of my friends, I imagine, which made me feel more unhappy. However, I buoyed myself up with the hope of seeing HJL soon. It seemed a long time before he came, but he did come at last. He proceeded to describe what life was like here, and after a time led me into the fifth and sixth divisions. He led me through various subdivisions of them into the great silence of the Archman Age. Here I gradually became attuned to my new condition of life, ceased to be in a muddled state, and began to take an active and intelligent interest in what I saw around me. We then, as you know, returned by easy stages to the counterpart of the present-day world and took up our residence in this old Franco-Flemish town. Here I have dwelt ever since. As soon as I was acclimatized, I went back to the Earth Plane to help the adjutant and succeeded in getting him away. In spite of sundry setbacks, he is now reconciled to his life here, and is an active agent for helping the soldiers who are passing over. Again, under the guidance of the officer, I returned to the Earth Plane or Division 3, and helped English soldiers, strangers, and so fulfilled the second condition which is imposed on those who desire to progress. I remember one incident which will serve as an example of many others. Under the charge of the officer, we descended to the battlefield near Ypres. I could see the shadowy still living leap from their trenches as the barrage lifted and charge over no man's land towards the Germans. One after another men toppled over. Some lay groaning, but from others a brighter and more substantial form emerged and, with rifle in hand, oh mark that oh followed in the direction the living had gone. Fresh bodies of still living men surged over no man's land, passing around through the newly dead. The latter paid but little heed to them, but flew at the throats of the astral Germans, and fought like furies. "Forward!" cried the officer, and we rushed in amid the fighters and tried to get some of our men away. I caught hold of the arm of a man called Whiting, I learned his name afterwards. He cursed me roundly, called me a coward. "I am your superior officer," I replied. "Come with me." "Superior officer BDD," he replied. "You're not of my regiment, and maybe a German dressed up in our togs. I'm not coming out of the fight at your orders. Let go, or I'll put my bayonet into you." He was mad with excitement, of course. "Let go, blast you. I knows my duty. It's to take them trenches." "All right, you can have it." So saying, he rammed the butt of his rifle into my face. It hurt, I can tell you, mental pain, of course, but it felt confoundedly physical at the time. I didn't let go though. "Look here," I said, "you are dead, and I am dead, and all these men are dead. You are not helping to win the trench at all. I'll prove it to you. Drive your bayonet right through my heart, and if I don't die as I should, it will prove it to you." "Look here, sir," he said, almost kindly, "you're barmy. had a whack on the head, I expect. You run along to one of the dressing stations, there's a sensible chap. Sorry I gave you that biff, but didn't know you were wrong in the head at the time. But I want to prove to you that I am dead, I replied, so stab away, it won't do me any permanent injury.